for our audience, I want to welcome Mark Center. Now, Mark, you came to our attention because you and your buddy Philip have laid some comments on us when I did the review of the Alien Autopsy film. And you guys had some concerns, and you know, you had some legitimate things to say there. And so I thought I'd give you guys a forum to say what you want to say. So we're looking at this Alien Autopsy film, and of course your concerns go back to the original 1995. Can you give us a little history on that?
Sure. Back in the early 90s, Ray Santilli, who's a music video producer out of the UK, and his buddy Gary Schofield, they were trying to find old rock and roll footage in America. Long story short, they're in Ohio. They meet an old guy who says he has some Elvis footage, and he says, "Hey, I got something else you might want to look at." He plays some old footage through a projector on the wall of his house, and it purports to show what we've all seen on the Fox show Alien Autopsy Factor Fiction. They take a couple of years to get the money together, maybe $100,000 or something, to get the money together to come back and get it. They pick the stuff up. They then transfer it on the VHS tape, and they do a direct sell-through for $65. I bought two of them back then.
Wow, $65.
And then they give the film to broadcasters around the world to be shown on the same day throughout the world, which was a smart way to do it, and they kept the video rights. And then we all saw the film on Fox as the Factor Fiction. I think they showed it three times with more and more little snippets of footage, which would be the alien autopsy of the thing on the table, the debris footage of the guy in the tent as he's holding up the six fingered hand panel and such, and then something called the tent footage, which looks completely different than the other footage.
Right.
And then we move on to 15 years of working on this with a group of guys, and the Ant and Dec comedy film that we're going to talk about today is released, 3 years ago or something, and
right.
It wasn't picked up for rights in the States for some reason, and they changed their story completely from the original story that I just told you about how they found it to this new story that is basically the plot of the comedy that was just released on DVD in the States.
Yeah. Now, you said you and some people spent a lot of time on this. Can you give us a little background on what it is that you do and how you've come to be involved in the story?
Sure. I'm into audio and video production at the house and in the field and such for bands and, you know, weddings and the whole bit. And I'm very much into the more gory or the more violent film, the better for me. And when I saw this thing, I said, wow, this is really cool effects if this is indeed an effect. And that's what got me started on it. Most of us have an interest in UFOs in general. And I put some newspapers out, news or fanzines based around this footage, and met a lot of people from around the world. I talked to guys who were in the special effects, the KMB group and the Lucas group and such. Talked to pathologists who cut up bodies, talked to film camera experts, and met Philip. And over the last 3 or 4 years, we've had an email group that I put together with probably broken up evenly by thirds. A third of the people think it's all bull, a third of the people aren't sure, and a third of the people think it's real. And it's been 15 years, thousands of hours, thousands of dollars, and a lot of time spent on this case.
Now, have you ever talked to Santilli?
I talked to him through the CompuServe and Counter Forum back in the 90s, because you have to remember, when this was released, the web just started up. That's when the web browser just came around in the mid-90s, so they were very smart to use it. I was on CompuServe. He was on CompuServe. We would pepper him with questions. He would back with his answers. And I have never talked to him face-to-face or on the phone. The last time I talked to him, he was going to Vegas, and I have connections there, so I hooked him up with some comp tickets to go see a very good Elvis Presley impersonator there and such. So, to be honest, it's probably best that I don't meet him face to face because I don't mince words, and I'm going to want some answers. And Philip lives in the UK. His name is Philip Mantle at philipmantle.com, and he's there anyway to meet with these folks. And he has much more patience than I do for this kind of stuff. So,
yeah. So now, let me see, when this thing first came out in 95, were your first impressions, did you believe any of this, or were you skeptical from the start?
I've never been skeptical. That's not how I approach this kind of stuff. I got a copy of the footage very early before most of the rest of the public did, and I saw it, and I showed it to some of my friends, and we were like, wow, this is pretty cool. Clearly, it could be a special effect. Maybe it's not. That's why I brought it to the K&B Effects Group, to Robert Kurtzman, etc. So I've never, up until very recently, I've never taken a stand on it because there wasn't enough conclusive conclusive proof or even evidence to take a conclusive stand on it. And I'm not one to just go off of my gut feeling in general about this stuff because there's so much fraud out there with the computers and all that stuff.
Well, and you gave Santilli the benefit of the doubt then.
Yes, because I was directly talking to him and such, and again, he's a very smart guy. He's been doling this information, and he still does to this day, and the movie is another form of doling the information out.
Sure.
So, I think to my credit and to Philip's credit, we just went after it regardless. And to this day, I like to say I don't care 100% if it's fake or if it's real, but especially being a fake and sold the way that it was and the money that's being made and stuff, it gives you reasons to be, if not pissed off personally, at least like, geez, why didn't I think of this?
Well, and I'll bet one of the big things too, of course, is that when someone does something like this and then it gets found out to be a fake, it casts doubt on maybe the next thing that might be real or someone who is trying to get real information out there.
Right, right. And that goes back to the Patterson Bigfoot film that we've all seen.
Oh, yeah.
Right, right. And that also goes in with the Billy Meyer UFO contact case from Switzerland with the guy with the one arm. His footage, a lot of that footage is just great. And that also kind of got me into this. You look at some of that footage, and regardless if he's got one arm and blah, 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 you look at the footage and you go, man, to be made in the 70s, this is really good footage. A lot of it's ridiculous, but some of it is like, wow,
this is
really cool. Now with the digital revolution, you can't believe a damn thing.
No, that's absolutely true. So how would you like to see this go forward now? What would you like to see happen about this whole alien autopsy thing?
Well, you know, we have the original story about how he found the footage and he held the film in his hand and he watched it projected on the guy's wall through a projector, yada yada. Then this, I would tell all you folks out there to go watch the movie because it is an entertaining movie. It is that, and taking it face value, it's a fun movie. But he comes out now and he says, you know what? Yeah, I saw footage, but in the intervening 2 years after I saw the footage projected on a wall to the time where I could go get it and pay him for it, it completely got ruined, oxidized, as they said, and we were only able to retrieve very few frames of film that showed something, and then from my memory, which showed something, and we reenacted it, or we restored it, is what Santilli would want to say. We basically faked it and put it together like a Hollywood would do with a movie like Forrest Gump, and 95% of the movie is fake, and then we interspread these little snippets of image in there, and even we can't tell where those snippets are because we did such a good job, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So he changed the complete story of how this went down, possibly for the copyright laws or something like that, but we're not buying any of it, and this case alone made the biggest, it made a big splash in the media and on the net more so than even Roswell. So somebody who's involved in this looks at this and says, well, gee, everybody who watches The Simpsons or anything heard about this thing or The X-Files,
right?
And we can't prove it one way or the other necessarily, and we would like for the people out there to at least understand that when Fox put out the fact, when Fox put out the greatest hoaxes ever told, they rightly so proved that the tent footage that isn't the alien autopsy and it isn't the debris footage, the tent footage was proven conclusively to be a fake. And Scintilli released that first video, the tent footage, as a gauge to see how the public and other ufologists and things would respond to this, to see, we think now, to see, should I go forward with this and maybe put more money into this to try to sell this thing. And keep in mind, when he sold that videotape, and I bought two of them and a lot of my friends did from him,
yeah,
he sold it as camera original footage from the guy who took the thing. He sold it as that. Never did he sell it as a recreation or a Mona Lisa we threw some paint on or anything like that.
Yeah. So you want your money back?
Huh?
You want your money back from Scintilli?
Well, I actually went down that road with him.
Okay.
To some extent, and he said that I could have it back, but there's a bigger issue here. There's the issue of selling it to me initially as what he purported it to be. And now, 15 years later, with the movie, he comes out and says, no. It's a restoration. It's not a fake. It's a restoration. So I don't want my money back necessarily. It's been a cool ride to be on. I met a lot of cool people. I'm talking to Gino now. This stuff wouldn't have happened without the movie.
Right.
So I'm the type of guy who won't let stuff go, be it bad marriage, my first bad marriage or whatever, I'll just take it to the end no matter what, scabs and all. And I don't want the money back. I want people to realize that by buying the film, they're going to get some good entertainment. It's well done. Ant and Dec are great. And Harry Dean Stanton, you can't go wrong on.
Yeah.
But it's all based on what seems to be a hoax and a lie and a fraud that still to this day they won't come out and just say, yeah, it was. Because, again, Gino, there's nothing they can do to these guys. Fox made a ton of money off this. Everybody made a ton of money off it. They're not going to go after this guy.
Right.
They're not going to sue him. In fact, if he would come out with the first autopsy, I won't get into it all, but there's two autopsies. The first autopsy shows a gynecological sort of deal in the private parts, blah, blah, blah.
Oh.
That's been seen by a few people, but they never released that. When I asked Scintilli just a few months ago if he still has that, he says, yes, and we'll release it when the time is right. and with the movie, we're told that there could be a Broadway show based on the alien autopsy.
Oh,
God knows if that'll ever happen. But it's mostly just to get the word out there and say, look, entertainment's all fine and good, and maybe there's nothing to UFOs and aliens and Bigfoot and ghosts and all that stuff, but at some point, do we kind of take a stand and say, at this point, at 2010, with all the technology we have, aren't we fed up with this? Don't we just want to have this cool, like, cryptozoology, and maybe there is stuff in the Congo and all that? Don't we really want to see that stuff and not have to put up with guys like Scintilli, who seem to have made this into a big fraud? I guess I should sum up. The point we're at now is we have the guy, Spyros Melleris.
Yes, I wanted you to talk about him, absolutely.
Right, and he's a magician and a filmmaker of sorts, and he also does a lot of post work in a studio in the UK. Philip did find this guy through the research of the Ant and Dec film, and the guy who did the effects for the Ant and Dec film, his last name is Humphreys, and he did the effects for the Ant and Dec film, and it turns out he says that he did the effects for the Ant and Dec film, so he did them for both the original film and this one. His name name's John Humphreys. You can go on the web and you can see his work.
Okay.
Spyros comes forward and says, hey, I'm the guy who put the whole thing together. Centilli paid for the first autopsy that nobody's really seen. I paid for the second because I knew I could do it and I wanted to see if I could do this. And we said, well, how come you're coming out now? Because it's a small group of guys that did it, and Centilli would work with these guys and get them work, et cetera, et cetera. It's sure. A very small thing in the U.K., not like out here, as far as film and such. Right. And he said, well, you know what pissed me off about that movie is that there's a guy in there, I forget his name, but his character is a Greek guy, and Spyros is, and he's a restaurateur, and he's played off to be an idiot and a dummy, and it pissed him off, and he said... I don't like that, and Centilli never told me what kind of money he made off of this, and while we will never know because it's really hard to get the information from the UK about taxes and things,
yeah.
Let's just say he's done very, very well with the original and with the movie, and Spyros has gotten nothing. So Spyros is going to release a book and a DVD at some point that will show all the evidence that Philip Mantle has seen. We in the UK, we in America have seen unalterated video from the original.
Uh-huh.
They aged the videos, and we know this because Spyros sent me some of the stuff that he kept. He wasn't supposed to keep anything, but he did keep a little something, and it's unaged. It's perfectly clear, black and white footage that nobody's ever seen. So we're hopeful that by me doing this and basically taking the stand at this point and say, look, the preponderance of evidence is such that Centilli has never released film at all.
Right.
Nothing that shows any lineage to the original footage we've seen. Centilli has gone on record, and so has Spyros now, that the cameraman's interview that was only shown in Japan was a bum they found on the street that they put a fake nose on,
mm-hmm.
and they released that, and we actually know the bum's name. I can't get into that because...
Well, that's in the movie as well. That's that's in the comedy.
Yes, yes. Well, we have the guy's name, and he's actually a... he acted in Hollywood for a while, and... If I told you his name, you could go on to the Internet Movie Database and you could find him up there.
Yeah.
So supposedly that's going to happen as well.
It seems like you've got some resolution coming. It seems like there's a lot of things about to hit the fan about this whole thing.
Yes, you would hope so. And again, I got off track there. By me finally coming out is what Philip says. The guy in the U.S. and he's the guy in the U.K.
Right.
I'm willing to say, based on my trust in Philip, because I haven't seen all the stuff that he's seen in the U.K. and I can't afford to go there,
sure.
I'm willing to trust him enough to say, based on what he's seen and what I've seen and what I hope to see, that yes, it's a complete fraud. Centilli still won't come clean on it, and hopefully by you giving us this opportunity and by Spyros putting out his book and his DVD and hopefully stripping the some copyrights from Centilli, because he claims the copyright for it now, that maybe through public by us putting the focus on him,
mm-hmm.
maybe because the public getting, I don't know, pissed off if they care or not, maybe it puts Centilli in such a spot that he will come clean, go away, or release more stuff, which would be cool, too, because if he released more stuff, I don't really want to go for another 15 years, but hey, I mean, it's the case keeps going then.
Well, and he's going to make more money, so for him it would make more sense to release more stuff.
Well, you bring up a great point. They've never tested any film because no film has been seen. Only Clear Leader was seen by... a guy named Kate, K-A-T-E, at Hollywood Kodak. I talked to him at depth.
Okay.
He saw a Clear Leader. No image on film has been seen. And you would think, let's say that he saw footage, played through a projector, and it was ruined 2 years later. I've talked to film experts. No, it doesn't happen. You could leave the stuff outside for 2 years, and you would still have a lot of reasonable
you have something
footage. Right. So let's say we do believe him. He's got all this footage that is basically crap now. Wouldn't it be worth even more money to have that tested and have what's ever there and testable and usable and yada, yada, yada released as a true document of something that happened than a, well, depending on how you believe the story, the first story that here's all the footage or the second story, here's the fake. He made some money, but let's be honest, he probably would have made a lot more money.
Yeah.
It would have gone the other route and he'd be going on 2020 and 60 Minutes.
Oh, yeah, if this were real, he'd be cashing in every turn.
Right, right. He did say that he met with certain people from different governments who wanted to see it. We don't know if this is true or not. And maybe, you know, some people, you know, the Men in Black and all that stuff, maybe they took it from him or something. Maybe they said, look, you can make some money off of this. We only wanted to gauge the public's response to this. It's that old disclosure thing that's real right. Big now on the web. Mm-hmm. You probably don't know nearly as much as I do about, you already come up with these interesting foundation questions, I call them, like, well, wait a minute.
Right.
Why haven't you tested the film? Why haven't you released the name of the cameraman who's supposed to be dead now? There's all these foundation questions that have never been answered, and no information has been released on it. So you can see how even somebody with virtually no background in this case would say, gee, this isn't adding up. It just doesn't add up.
Well, and have you ever talked to anybody within our government? Because, you know, call me a cynic, but I find it hard to believe that this thing would have ever made it to Fox if it were real.
Yeah, there's always two sides to that. But when you get into the story, and supposedly he kept a bunch of real problematic footage, 22 reels of problem footage, and they allowed him to go and deal with this himself, possibly this house or something, people say, well, yeah, this might have happened because the military at that year, 1947, was being broken up, the Army, the Navy, and all that stuff. It was being broken up, so there was a lot of dysfunction at that point. But then we find out through Bob Shell from Shutterbug Magazine that the film stock that we seem to be looking at here is a print. It isn't an original copy. So we're led to believe that, oh, gee, so he brought it home and he force processed all this stuff and he made an original print and then he had a machine to make his own copy print. It just gets more and more convoluted. So,
not likely.
I've talked to guys, government, to get back to your question, yes, mostly cameramen from the government. They said every single inch, every frame, everything is accounted for on site while it's happening. You're just not going to run away with this kind of footage, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, and they do that even when stuff not near this sensitive. And something that, you know, they're going to cover up for the next 60, 70 years, you would think that there would be a lot. This guy wouldn't be sitting on a can of this stuff for, you know, however many years and then just let it get out.
Yeah. The initial holding on to it would not have happened, you would think. I mean, our government can't run the mail service correctly 80 years later or
whatever.
But still, they've done pretty well to cover up a lot of stuff. You would agree, and some of the stuff we might even know about is probably the wrong story. So they're not a bunch of boobs.
No.
If I can ask you a question,
sure.
What was your initial response to the footage when you saw it?
You know, I didn't believe it. I honestly did. I mean, I watched it like everybody else because for me it was a morbid curiosity
type
of thing about the deal. And, you know, watching Jonathan Frakes make it so dramatic. I mean, to me it was entertaining. I absolutely believe there are aliens out there. What my belief is about whether they're here or not, I don't know. I had an encounter, as we talked about myself, that I've told the folks about. But who knows? You know, so I'm open to that kind of thing because I certainly believe there are people out there. The universe is just too damn big to not have other things other than us. But, you know, the whole Roswell thing, I mean, I'm skeptical because, like you say, all these years later, I find it hard to believe the government kept that much information under that tight of wraps for that long. I think if Roswell had really happened, we would have something before this guy's autopsy, especially if they were that lax in the security, something before now would have come out. We'd have saucer pieces. We'd have something a lot more concrete. And I could be wrong, but that was my feeling on it. I didn't believe it from the start because I thought it just, there's no way this is coming out in this fashion this far later.
Right, and that's a very pragmatic approach to it. That's a similar case on me. I wouldn't make the call about, and I wouldn't say real or fake. And a lot of people have gotten down on me about that. You have to make the decision. And I said, come on, we're talking about alien autopsies, UFOs and stuff. It's mostly an entertainment vehicle, let's be honest.
Yeah, but I have to admit, it was chilling. You know, when you ask what I thought about it, I didn't believe it because I went in there deciding not to believe it before I saw it. But I have to admit, watching it for the first time, it sends little chills through. It's very well done as far as a fake.
It did. When I got the screening copy, for lack of a better term, that a guy down in your way, in fact, you know a guy named Chuck Harder?
The name sounds familiar. Was he a radio guy?
Yes. He got the same copy as I got, and he started to sell it. And he said, you know what? I won't swear on your show, but he said, F. Santilli, if this is really government footage, they own it. You cannot own government footage.
That's
they
true.
Own it forever. So he said, screw them. So he sold a bunch of them. It went to court in a case that was Robert Kiviat, who did the Fact or Fiction show, the producer, and Trimark, and it was Kiviat Trimark versus Harder, and Harder won, and I think they had to pay his court costs, but that alone should tell you, well, gee, the judge basically said, well, if the government owns this, then he doesn't own it either, and neither does Kiviat or Trimark.
Right.
So they kind of threw their hands up in the air and said, you got to bring back more proof, or we just don't care.
Yeah.
And I keep in contact with all these guys, with Kiviat and Harder. I don't let anything sit for too long, and I'm hopeful that Spyros Malaris will be able to do what he needs to do. Clearly, he has released more tactile, for lack of a better term, tactile information and material to Philip Mantle than Santilli has, and that's another red flag.
Well, tell the folks how they can keep up with this on you, whatever website, and we'll put it as a link to the post when we put the podcast up as well. But tell the folks how to find you so they can keep up on your research.
Great. They can go to the mother website, is Beyond Roswell, like the crash in New Mexico, beyondroswell.com. You'll see that Philip Mantle's stuff is on the left side, my stuff's on the right side, and you'll see a prominent link that is called the Alien Autopsy Archive, and there is just a tremendous amount of what seems to be wasted time on my part of putting this stuff together for years and years and years. And the one thing I want to point them to, if they want to get down to the foundation questions like you were asking,
right,
is in that big mess of links, there's a thing called Top Questions for Ray Santilli, Gary Schofield, and John Humphreys, the guys involved here.
Right.
And if you go through those 25 questions, you will see the ridiculous nature of this whole case. All of this stuff should have and could have been answered 15 years ago, and they just refused to do it. So I appreciate the opportunity to do this, and hopefully, sad to say, hopefully, if enough people go public to basically call shenanigans on Ray Santilli, I know personally, and you're probably the same way, I don't mind constructive criticism and such, but I don't want a bunch of people to think I'm a liar, fraud, and cheat across the world. That's not how I run my life. I mean, I don't need to be liked or loved, but I don't want to be, like, reviled because I ripped off a bunch of people and continue to tell what seems to be lies to this day.
Yeah. Well, I hope that you're right, and I hope you'll do me another favor and keep us informed here. Keep me informed as to how the quests and the different things are going, and we'll keep the folks updated as well. But I hope they go to the site and some of these folks join the cause, and maybe we can get some answers. I'm definitely out for answers. I'd love to know the truth.
Well, I have to, and if I have to manipulate to some extent, hey, he's been doing the manipulation on us for 15 years.
Yeah.
I'll send you a couple of the fanzines that I did in the 90s.
Please
I still
do.
Have a few of the copies left, so I'll send those to the address.
Yes.
And you can read that on the toilet if you want. You can see where all this stuff started for me and Mr. Philip Mantle.
I will absolutely do that, and I'm very grateful for you taking the time, and it's good to see a different side of the story here. This is something, if we hadn't watched the other movie and put it out, we would never heard from you folks, so I'm in a way glad that we heard from you guys so that people can see some tantalizing information out there.
Yeah, it's very cool that it got a little heated on your forum below the review there. We try to be as cool as we can, but we have 15 years of motion attached to this, I guess. But
yeah, no, I understand.
You're one of the few guys who would even respond and then open the floor up to non-foil hat wearing people who are just trying to, in a sense, help out the public, I guess, too.
I'm with you.
Trying to get to the bottom of what could be a consumer fraud case, right? Yeah.
No, I'm with you, and we're always open to any kind of opinion at upcoming deals. Like I said, it got a little heated. I just wanted to make sure you guys understood I wasn't justifying or condoning the original thing. I was just saying I had a hoot of a time watching this particular movie. It was funny to me. I had never heard of Ant and Dec before. I guess they're big in England, but
yes.
You know, they were a riot. I mean, these guys have a lot of chemistry. It was a riot, and I just had a good time watching the film. You know, forget about the, but I guess where I kind of got that they were trying to admit there's a fraud is there's a scene in the movie that I like a lot when they're watching the alien autopsy, they're watching Jonathan Frakes start to speculate on where this Voyager came from, and
right.
They turn to each other and they're saying, they're buying it. I mean, just, you know, it seems to me it's obvious that they're, you know, because they're even surprised that, you know, they're buying this stuff.
Yeah. At the end of the movie, you recall that a giant reel of film is delivered to Ant or Dec,
yeah.
And he watches a little bit of black and white footage
right.
In a hangar, and they show it, very difficult to see, but they show what seems to be the creature on a bed or something on
right.
The floor, right?
Yeah.
It's interesting, and I'll leave you with this. Not only are we manipulated by Centilli and his folks, and maybe even Spyros Malaris, who knows,
yeah.
But when there was a rumor that footage was just more footage inserted into the end of the movie that Centilli owns. So then Philip contacts the quirky film people back there, and he gets in touch with whomever he can.
Yeah.
And they basically say, can't confirm or deny, we're glad you find the same, I forget how they put it, but the same, like, qualities of that piece at the end that we do. Have a nice day.
So it's a teaser.
It's interesting that when money is to be made,
yeah.
That you'll just toe the party line
yeah.
Because there's money to be made.
There absolutely is. And so hopefully we'll have some truth. And I want to thank you for coming on again. And thanks for the offer to keep us posted. And I'll definitely keep the folks in tune.
You bet. You've opened up Pandora's Gate. You'll probably have to block your phone from me.
That's okay. You're welcome to call anytime.
Okay, Gino, thanks much. And I like your site. I'm a movie nut. Thanks much.
Well, thank you very much. We hope you keep coming.
Yeah, man.
Okay, you take care.
Okay, right, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye.